Your Honors, I've requested 5 minutes to have a rebuttal. I'm Barry Snyder, and I represent the plaintiff in this case, Anna McCarthy. This is an auto accident case in which my client was injured on tax day, April 15th, 2008. It was a Tuesday, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. She was rear-ended. Significantly, she was insured by Nationwide Insurance Company, and the person who struck her in the rear was also insured by Nationwide Insurance Company. My client reported the accident to Nationwide by looking at her insurance card and calling an 800 number. That triggered the opening of a claim. My client did not articulate that this was a claim, either a liability claim or a PIP claim. From her perspective, she simply reported the accident and a claim was opened. The person on the 800 number took the information, and either overnight or early the next morning, it was assigned to Tanya Saunders, who's extensively referenced in the statement of facts and the argument. She's a longtime Nationwide adjuster, and her role in this case was as the liability adjuster for the defendant. Tanya Saunders was the first local person who contacted my client, contacted her by telephone the next day before my client had sought any medical treatment, although my client did have an appointment scheduled for later on Wednesday to see her family doctor and also her employer's doctor. She worked for Christiana Care. Tanya got some information from her and asked if she could come see her and scheduled an appointment to see her the next Monday, April 21st. She also volunteered to have a PIP claim opened, which would be on my client's insurance policy, to pay for medical bills and lost wages.
Let me make sure I understand the facts. I think I did from reading them, but you're saying that your client called Nationwide thinking she was calling her carrier to report an accident to her carrier.
Yes, she testified in her deposition that she took her insurance card.
So then a Nationwide person appears.
Yes.
But the Nationwide person isn't wearing the hat of her carrier. The Nationwide person is really the other driver's carrier.
As I learned in the deposition of Tanya Saunders, that's correct. I wouldn't have known that.
So how did that happen? If she calls to report a claim to her carrier, how does she wind up with the other driver's person coming first? Did someone from Nationwide ever respond to her call?
Eventually, a PIP adjuster was assigned, but that was not until Tanya Saunders, the liability adjuster, got involved.
Maybe I misheard your recitation of the facts, but I thought you said she called to report an accident.
Correct.
She didn't call to make a claim.
Correct.
So when she's telling Nationwide I've been involved in an accident, she's triggering the notice requirement under her policy for Nationwide to meet its obligations under the policy, whatever they may be.
Correct.
To defend her from a third-party claim or to submit a claim ultimately for PIP to which she's entitled under her policy.
Correct.
But her call wasn't directed to her claiming something against Nationwide. It was simply to report an accident, right?
As of the moment she called, her car had been damaged in a rear-end collision. So I would say that she was reporting a claim for her property damage at the minimum.
Well, I think what we need help on is if I'm insured by Nationwide and I'm in an accident with State Farm, people trade information.
Correct.
And so if we trade information and I'm calling State Farm, I know I'm calling the other person's carrier. But I also know I have an obligation to call my own carrier.
Right.
So is the record clear that she called her own carrier and said, you insure me, I've been involved in an accident?
She testified at her deposition that she called the number on her insurance card.
Her insurance card.
Her insurance
not
card.
Not trading information with the other driver.
Correct. In this particular instance, the police were not called.
Okay.
Oftentimes when the police are called, they will supply you with the other person's insurance information, and that will trigger you to call
somebody. And sometimes
somebody.
People just exchange it on their own.
And that's...
But the record shows, in any event, she was using her own insurance card, calling the number on her insurance card, saying, pursuant to my obligation under the policy, I'm telling you I'm involved in an accident.
Correct. And it was a call center somewhere, we have no idea where. And I'm not sure I've answered your question, but I don't know whether Nationwide has any particular policy on these call centers that if it's our insured calling, it goes to this person. If it's somebody making a claim against our insured, it goes to that person. The way it worked, as a practical matter in this case, that person turned out to be a liability adjuster, according to Tanya Saunders. I don't know that from any other place other than Tanya Saunders' testimony, that the claim was created as a liability claim and then moved overnight to Tanya Saunders, who, when she checked her computer on Wednesday morning, she had a new liability claim.
But we don't know whether that was prompted by your client's call or the other driver's call, do we?
I believe Tanya Saunders was clear in her deposition that it was prompted by my client's call, but I'm not 100% sure of that. That is an issue that I can't say the record is 100% clear. But she talked about a warm transfer, a term I had never heard before, from the first adjuster to her. And my impression from taking her deposition was that was an 800 number liability person creates a liability claim and then moves it to Tanya Saunders, the Delaware person who then is going to be responsible for it. I think that's how it works. That's my impression from the deposition. My client had a conversation with Tanya Saunders that Wednesday morning, went to the doctor that afternoon.
Excuse me, I'm sorry to belabor this, but earlier in your statement of the facts, you said Tanya Saunders contacted her. She was a liability adjuster for the defendant. Was she the liability adjuster for your client or for the defendant?
For the defendant.
Because you just finished saying that she was there for your client as the adjuster for your client. Which one is it?
If I said that, I misspoke. I'm sorry. She was the liability adjuster for Nationwide Insurance Company for the defendant's policy.
And we know this how?
Because she said that. And she continued in that role through this entire case.
And nobody ever showed up as the adjuster for your client?
Within 3 days, a person was designated as the PIP adjuster, and that person did send a letter to my client with a form that had to be filled out.
Okay,
and that was
did
a different
liability
person.
Adjuster ever show up or contact your client?
On Wednesday morning, the day after the accident, Tanya Saunders, the liability adjuster,
but that's not
her.
A liability adjuster for your client. I'm asking whether anybody from Nationwide ever contacted your client as a liability adjuster for her.
No. No. That a person was never, a claim was never made against my client because it was 100% liability case against the other person.
So there was no need for anybody to show up on that?
Correct. After my client saw the doctor on Wednesday, she actually didn't see a doctor, she saw a nurse. The nurse said, stay out of work for Thursday and Friday and until you feel better. She made one more visit either Thursday or Friday to the medical facility and was seen by a nurse practitioner who repeated those instructions. The next event was on Monday when Tanya Saunders came to her house and discussed the case with her. Tanya came with a check and with a release. She discussed the case with my client, told her that she was prepared based upon the injury to pay $750, and said that she'd be required to sign a release. My client indicated that she wanted to make sure her medical bills were going to be taken care of, and Tanya Saunders said that they would be under PIP, that Nationwide was required to pay her, and she was covered by Nationwide. As a result of being assured that her bills were going to be paid, my client accepted the $750 and signed the release. It turned out that my client's injuries were more significant than initially thought, and she continued to treat from April through the rest of the year and incurred $12,000 in medical bills for doctor's appointments, diagnostic tests, and physical therapy and medication, and approximately $600 in lost wages. She was out of work for a couple of weeks. After we filed this case, Nationwide raised the defense of the release.
And all of those $12,000 of medical expenses, and did Nationwide pay them all?
They did. The PIP carrier did pay all the medical bills which were incurred as a result of this accident. The day they...
So that would mean that all of the damages that occurred were known and ended within 2 years?
Yes. Yes. Partially because my client had a second, more severe accident, which resulted in a surgery, a shoulder surgery.
Yeah, well, that's not an issue here. What we're talking about is the first accident.
Correct.
And what happened as a result of the interaction with Nationwide.
Correct.
So if we go back to your story, Tanya said, if you take the $750 and your concern is your medical bills, Nationwide will pay those under PIP, and that happened.
That's correct. That's correct.
So the real concern in this case is she's no longer happy that she took $750.
Correct. I would say the additional concern is that under contract law, there was a misrepresentation by Tanya Saunders as to her ability to promise anything on behalf of Nationwide.
Are you saying that we should invalidate the release?
Yes.
Because it didn't accurately portray Nationwide's responsibilities for the payment of medical expenses, even though Nationwide paid all the medical expenses?
The contract theory under which I am arguing is that you look at the parties' positions at the time of their contract and what their understanding was. And my client's understanding was that she had a promise from a Nationwide, her insurance company, that Nationwide was going to pay the medical bills.
And
They did that.
It did. It turned out that way. But I'm sure this court has heard other cases where insurance companies have cut off PIP. They've stopped paying.
But that's not this case.
That is not this case. But I think for my argument to succeed, you have to look at this case on the day the release was signed, which was 6 days after the accident.
Well, let me suggest to you that for your argument to succeed, you'll have to convince at least me that there was a misrepresentation. I haven't heard about a misrepresentation as of yet. What's the misrepresentation?
The misrepresentation is, and the contract law that I cited in my brief, is that under contract law, a misrepresentation can be intentional, or it can be innocent. And I would say on the state of this record, it's an innocent misrepresentation in the sense that Ms. Saunders was reciting basic Delaware law, which was insurance companies are required under their policy to pay your medical bills, lost wages, and any other prescriptions for 2 years after the accident. That's Delaware law. And she did accurately recite that. She didn't go on to say, but they can stop when they think that you're over-treating or your injuries were caused by a previous problem. There are lots of reasons which lead insurance companies to stop paying your medical bills. So as you're sitting there on Monday, 5 or 6 days after the accident, having seen a nurse and a nurse practitioner, not a doctor yet, and you're being told your medical bills are going to be taken care of by a representative of your insurance company, you then sign a document that says, I've ended my claim.
Well, does the record reflect whether Tanya Saunders ever told her she was wearing the hat of the other driver?
Tanya Saunders, the record does not say that she ever said that to my client. She said what she said in her deposition. I'm sure you've looked at that.
We have, but somewhere along the line, Tanya Saunders said to her, this is a settlement for your claim against the other driver. I'm going to give you a check for $750. You need to release the other driver. So wouldn't it be reasonable for your client to assume Tanya Saunders was wearing the hat of the other driver?
I think that might be reasonable to assume if the other driver was insured by State Farm or any other company, and Tanya Saunders was acting on behalf of any other company. I think that is a fair, that could be a fair result of a case like this, that you knew what you were doing. If you had any doubt, you should have called your insurance company. The unique thing about this case is that Nationwide was representing or handling both sides. And because of the quickness with which Tanya Saunders showed up at her house and the fact that she didn't make it clear that I can't promise you your PIP carrier is going to pay your bills, she could have said that, but she didn't. She simply said, yes, your bills are going to be taken care of because that's what PIP is for. I view that as an innocent misrepresentation of Nationwide's responsibilities.
All right, so how does this relate to what's the real concern here is that she now wishes she didn't settle for $750.
Right.
Why did she get to have the release set aside and get more money?
Why? Because she entered into a contract which was premised upon, and they both say that in their depositions. They both agree that her major concern was, are my medical bills going to be paid? And Tanya Saunders says, I told her they were going to be. She sort of said her the language that she used in her deposition. This is what I told her. And that matches up pretty close to what my client says, that she said, my medical bills are going to be paid, so I will sign this release for $750.
So your position is, in order to avoid an innocent misrepresentation, when someone enters into a contract and makes a promise, they have to say, but there are 17 different ways in which we could breach this contract in the future. And unless I tell you about all the ways in which we could breach the contract, I'm innocently misrepresenting to you that we'll follow up and conform to our contract. That is a very strange position.
And that is not my position. Nationwide would not be violating its contract by not paying her medical bills if a fact finder eventually found that it was reasonable for them to stop paying. So the fact that they stop isn't an instant.
Yeah, but that would have to be a basis that's rooted in those expenditures are not related to an injury incurred by the accident, because otherwise we promise to pay regardless of fault. Doesn't matter who caused the accident. You've paid us a premium for the right to receive the benefit of personal injury protection, which includes lost wages, medical bills, ancillary expenses related to injuries you suffered in the accident. They can only stop those payments under circumstances that they are not obligated to pay under the contract. But you're actually suggesting to us that if they don't represent the ways in which they could ultimately deny the claims for any reason, then they've misrepresented what they've promised to do under the contract?
No, that's not my argument. My argument is that she's a liability adjuster. And although she's working for Nationwide, she's working to get this file closed. And she's doing what she needs to do to get it closed. And she innocently misrepresented because the concern was, get my medical bills paid. She said, Nationwide is going to take care of your medical bills under PIP. She shouldn't have said that. She should have said, I'm not your PIP adjuster. If that's a concern of yours, you need to contact the PIP adjuster.
Well, how is your client harmed as a result of her not saying more than she did?
She's harmed because she signed a release based upon a promise which the person on the other side could not make. A liability adjuster from Nationwide cannot make that promise.
The promise had already been made by the contract, hadn't it, to pay those bills if they're related to the accident and are incurred within 2 years?
That's what the contract says. That's what Delaware law says, that the insurance company is obligated.
What did she say inconsistent with the contract?
Nothing, because the contract reflects Delaware law.
Then how did she misrepresent it if she said nothing inconsistent with it?
She did not have the authority as the liability adjuster to make any representation about the PIP adjuster and the PIP claim. Your Honor made some mention of the fact that they could stop paying if her injury turned out to be related to some prior problem. There are actually two major reasons.
Well, no, all I said was they could deny a benefit if they didn't believe it was related to this accident.
Right, and I was just going to mention, Your Honor, that there's a second category that insurance companies in PIP cases oftentimes also use, and that is that you've treated enough, you should be better, therefore we're not going to continue to pay. And that's probably the more likely scenario. That happens more often than it's related to something else.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Chief Justice Steele, Justice Holland, Justice Berger, good afternoon. I'm Carol Antoff. I'm here on behalf of the defendant below, Susan Hopkins, asking you to affirm the lower court's decision that dismissed the claim against Ms. Hopkins from that motor vehicle accident based on the valid release. We find that there was no misrepresentation. All of the bills were paid to suggest that a nationwide claims adjuster is not qualified or has no authority to say to someone, well, she's explaining the different coverages that are available, and the record is very clear that Ms. Saunders did explain the different coverages available to her. That's the liability coverages, the property damage coverages, the PIP coverage.
Let me interrupt you for a second.
Certainly.
Opposing counsel never got to this argument, but it is in her brief, the argument that there was a mutual mistake, not that there was any misrepresentation with respect to whether medical bills are going to be covered,
okay,
but that there was a mutual mistake of fact as to the extent of her injury.
Actually, the record is very clear that she offered, that Ms. Saunders offered her $750 based on the symptoms that you have today. And at that time, Ms. McLarthy had known that she didn't hurt the day before. She woke up the day after the motor vehicle accident hurting. She had gone to her employer's service. She had gone to her doctor. Her records show that she went to her doctor, not just the doctor's practitioner, that she was prescribed medications. She was physical therapy,
right,
and taken out of work.
Right. I understand that she had gotten some medical treatment, but I think we all can agree that she did not think that she had a problem that was going to require medical attention for the next 5 months, right?
That's true. And I believe
neither did Nationwide. Neither did the liability adjuster, right, because the liability adjuster said, well, you know, you seem fine. Here's $750 for your aggravation. So weren't both sides operating under a mistake of fact, the fact being that her injuries were much more severe than appeared at the time of the release?
I'm not sure that that is a mistake of fact, because the release was signed based on what she had at the time. And
well, are you saying that a week or two later she had something new, but it also arose from the accident?
No, that's exactly the opposite of what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that she didn't have anything new. Her symptoms didn't go away as fast as she thought. At the time that Ms. McLarthy signed the release, she thought that her symptoms would go away soon. They both were aware of what her symptoms were. And if there's a mistake here at all, then it would be a unilateral mistake on Ms. McLarthy's part by thinking that her symptoms would go away and so she could sign it away for $750.
Well, are you suggesting to the court that we should assume Nationwide, acting in good faith, would offer $750 to settle a medical claim that is going to involve 5 months of pain and medical attention?
No, what I'm suggesting to the court is that they offered $750 based on the information that Ms. McLarthy told them.
Right, which, again, I'm asking whether don't we have a situation where both sides were mistaken as to a fundamental aspect of what this release was covering, which is the extent of her injury.
I really have difficulty agreeing with you, and I hate to disagree with the court.
You're welcome to.
But they knew what her injuries were at the time. They did not, Ms. McLarthy did not expect to need to treat for 5 additional months.
And presumably Ms. Saunders didn't expect her to either, right?
That's true.
And so both sides were negotiating, to the extent that that was a negotiation, based upon inaccurate information?
Well, actually not, Your Honor, because Ms. McClarthy actually said that as long as her bills were taken, the $750, were taken care of, the $750 was fine for her.
But that was based upon the assumption that within a couple of days she would be fine, not that within 5 months with continuing treatment she would be not even fine. But
I'm presuming that that's what Ms. McClarthy was thinking at the time. She did say, and on the record it did say that she was expecting it. She was expecting to get better in a little bit of time.
Well, there's a distinction in my mind between she was expecting to get better over time, and as of this moment, I don't consider my situation to ever change. $750 represents all the pain and suffering, all the angst, all the inconvenience, all the aggravation, however a good tort lawyer likes to characterize it, apart from my out-of-pockets, which are being taken care of, I understand, through another part of my Nationwide policy. But this $750 represents what I have suffered, not only up to this point, based on what you just said, but going forward.
Yes. Yes. And that I believe that was made clear to Ms. McClarthy, because she was specifically told that because the other driver was at fault, we are offering you $750 beyond medical records. This is just for you because you were involved in an accident caused by someone else.
When she signed this release, did she expect to be free from pain and free from inconvenience and discomfort 8 o'clock the next morning and forever after?
No, Your Honor, because she knew that she was taken out of work and still had physical therapy.
She was still undergoing physical therapy. She
was on pain medications and had a prescription for physical therapy. So she knew she had some more treatment to go at the time that she signed the release.
Okay.
The most distressing thing that I find about plaintiff's argument is that he uses the words assurance and promise, and the record doesn't show that Ms. Saunders ever assured anyone that medical bills would be paid or promised that medical bills would be paid. She explained the coverage, and that includes PIP. By the time that she came to Ms. McClarthy's to speak to her in person, Ms. McClarthy had already spoken to her own PIP claims adjuster, who had also gone over all the coverages and said that she would send out an application for the benefits to pay the medical bills. And it was not Ms. McClarthy who brought up the issue of medical bills. It was Ms. Saunders who explained during the course of explaining what the coverages were, that her medical bills would be covered under her PIP, and that if she had any questions regarding her medical bills, she should contact her PIP adjuster.
Well, I think when we're talking about a mutual mistake of fact, and we ought to look at what appears to be what really happened in this case. And the insurance adjuster knew that Ms. McCarthy had ongoing treatment. She had existing pain and additional physical therapy. And as an experienced adjuster, she wanted to settle promptly for the smallest amount of money that they would have to pay.
Certainly.
So later, when it turned out that Ms. McCarthy had significant more therapy, significant more medical bills, and significant more pain, and Nationwide's position is, well, and you know, you settled too early for too little, but that was the decision you were entitled to make. If the whole idea was we're going to do what's best and we all think this is it and it's never going to get any worse, Nationwide would have said to her, well, you know, you're still having physical therapy, you're still taking pain medicine, let's not settle with it so quickly, let's wait and see what happens. So, and this idea that Nationwide thought everything was cabined, for want of a better word, nothing was going to get any worse, really isn't what happens when these claims are settled promptly for a small amount of money. And that's the whole goal of the insurance company, isn't it?
Yes, Your Honor.
And I'm not suggesting that's bad, but
that's business.
There's a difference between trying to settle promptly and for the lowest amount of money and trying to say, well, we're going to do what's right and we've sized up the situation the same as you have and you're never going to get any worse, so here's $750. That's the whole idea behind these settlements is you, the injured, make an informed decision, and we, the company paying the claim, will pay you the least amount of money as quickly as we can, consistent with your reasonable demand.
Yes. And Ms. McClarthy did testify that she read over the release before she signed it, and the language is very clear that in the language, the second paragraph of the release says, we represent that the injuries sustained may be permanent, they may be progressive, they might be uncertain and indefinite in making this release. I agree that it's understood. I'm waiving all rights anyway. She read this. She understood it. She signed it.
Well, in light of all of that, does the record clearly reflect that Ms. McCarthy knew Sonia was wearing the hat of the other driver? Because clearly when someone's dealing with their own insurance company, you may think your insurance company has some interest in taking care of you.
She did know that she had already spoken to her own PIP claims adjuster. She was informed that because we find that the other driver was at fault, we can pay you this.
But one way to look at that is she's dealing with two people in Nationwide that have different job responsibilities. My question is, and does the record reflect anywhere that, you know, Nationwide's slogan is Nationwide is on your side? And at any time did Sonia say Nationwide is not on your side here? Nationwide, meaning Sonia, is here on the side of the person who hit you. Was that clear?
That it's not clear. The exact words that were used are not clear in the record. It can be inferred that she understood that there were two different sides to the claim and that there were two different people that she was talking to for the two sides, but the record does not specifically state that she came and said, hi, I represent Susan Hopkins in this matter. Major issue on the point of misrepresentation, just to go back to that real quickly, is that there was none. She was allowed to explain the coverage, and all the PIP bills were paid, so there was no misrepresentation on this. If you have any other questions, I don't think that we have anything else that needs to be said that hasn't been.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, counsel. We'll take the case under advisement and recess.